ओम शांति। इवनिंग्स इन द कॉन्फ्रेंस हॉल आर अ वेरी पावरफुल रिमाइंडर ऑफ द टाइम्स दैट डैडी वुड बी हियर एंड इट्स द सेम टाइम ऑफ हियर शीड यूजली जॉइन अस फॉर राखी एंड सो आई वाज रिमेम्बरिंग बाबा बट नाउ एज आई कम आउट ऑफ योगा देन It's the first thought that's coming to my mind that this is the time of year when she'd be with us and she would be entertaining us. And usually her evening classes were entertainment. It wasn't a strict class as such, but early days it used to be very deep and intense, but in the last couple of years it was more Daddy asking us to sing, or she would have songs played and she would dance, so very different atmosphere. And tonight I want to take a little bit of a serious subject. And I'm not just thinking about preparation for Rakhi, because I think everybody here knows about preparation for Rakhi. Who doesn't know about preparation for Rakhi? I think everybody knows. But I want to talk about preparation for the end times. So it is serious, and the end times are now. It's not far away, and it's not that we wait another 10, 20, 30 years before we see that. We see changes happening very, very fast in the world right now. And so seeing all of this, what must I do? And I think the first step is to remember that I have to be fearless. And so a deep checking inside, what is it that I'm still afraid of? And on one level, many of us would say, we're not afraid of anything. Baba's given us so much, has looked after us with such love and care. There's nothing I'm afraid of. And yet, if we go deeper and deeper inside, then we will see the subtle fears that are still there within our consciousness. And normally we are not able to see them because we are too busy. But I think COVID has given an opportunity for everybody to have, even if people have been busy, yet still there's been more time now than we've ever had before. Am I right? So, did I take that time to go deep into myself so that I pull out all the things that I need to do in terms of, every Murali Baba reminds us, finish your weaknesses, finish your defects. And so have I been able to at least even see what is it that's causing my mind to fluctuate? Because I need to clean out my mind, I need to empower my mind, I need to make it so strong that there is no more fluctuation. Baba talked about moods, and so am I able to go beyond the influence of the things that are going on outside and have stability within, so that at this moment, having had that rehearsal over the last 4 months of COVID and what may happen, what have I seen inside? Have I been able to identify the fears that I have on a deep, subtle level deep within? And maybe one of the fears that we've had is, what if I'm old and there's no one to help me? And some are young, some are not so young in this gathering now. And probably the people who are listening is probably the same thing. Some are young and some are not so young. And so is that a subtle fear that I've been able to see within myself? Or what happens if I'm in a situation in which I don't have food, or I don't have water, or many of the other things that we're dependent on usually. And so am I afraid of all those external things? And can I do something about it today? The physical things, can I make sure that I have such a deep, strong connection with Baba that I never feel alone or lonely? Sometimes people physically are alone, but they don't feel lonely. And sometimes physically there is no one, but yet they feel they have Baba's company. And I've seen Daddy, and you know, right from very early on, she would say to us, "You go on service and do what you need to do. I look after the house." She did that just, I think, within a few weeks of coming to London. A couple of weeks she was here, and Dr. Nirmala got very unwell, and she was in hospital. And she would say to us, the exhibition in Regent Street had started. And so she'd say to all of us, Ramesh, Pai, Usha Ben, myself, Mohini Ben, we were the ones there with her that time. She would say, "Off you go, all of you go in the morning, and I can take care of myself, I can take care of Baba's house, and I can even take care of Dr. Nirmala." And she didn't speak very much English at that point. She could understand a bit. She could read. And so she said, "Just show me the bus and I'll know where to get on. Show me where to get off and I'll make my own way." And of course, not only was she looking after the house, but she was doing all the cooking for us. And I mean, in India, she's a brilliant cook, but in India, that wasn't her role. Her role at that point had been the teacher of teachers, the trainer for teachers, and also her role had been to conduct all the bhattis. If you see the Avyakt Murali of 1969, the first one, Baba's talked about, and Baba said the Supreme Commander has come to see his troops, and he mentioned that, "I didn't bring Brahma Baba with me, because then you would have had so many tears, you wouldn't have let him go. And so today I've come alone." So it was the commander speaking to the troops. And he gave a very clear plan for the next 50 plus years. What is it that is going to happen in Madhuban? And yes, the Muralis are going to come to you from Madhuban. Yes, your communication is still going to be with Madhuban. Your questions will be answered by the seniors who are in Madhuban. Your plans for service will come to Madhuban. He specified all of these things, literally. And then he also said, "You'll come to Madhuban. You used to come to meet Sakar Baba, but now you'll come for retreats, bhattis." Baba used the word bhattis. "And there'll be bhattis for kumaris, for kumars, for mothers, for brothers, for teachers." Baba specified everything. So Daddy's role there had been this, the trainer for the teachers and the one who conducted all the retreats. Main classes were Daddy, 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 and then, yes, others were there part of it, but Daddy would hold it. And so here she was cooking, she was packing the food, taking it by bus to the hospital, and coming back and waiting for us to come home, and she would then feed all of us. So Daddy wasn't afraid of any of this. I think that many people, being in one particular role where they have many around them and many facilities, and you know, if there's a proper setup and you get sent to a strange place where you don't know the language, where there's nobody to assist you in all the details that need attention, and you're traveling alone, and Daddy was doing all of this. So I could see that, yes, she was afraid of dogs. she couldn't manage dogs. But apart from that, I never saw her afraid of anything. You know, some of us scream if we see a spider, but not Daddy. So can I really deeply say whether I'm going to be alone or whether I'm going to be in a gathering, I know I won't be afraid. And whether I have food or I don't have food, whether I have water or I don't have water, it's okay. I won't be afraid of death. The title of the book that Daddy wanted Neville to write, Not Afraid, How to Live, How to Die, that was the thing. But in her class she stated about not being afraid of death. And again, we saw Daddy come to the point of death many times, but come back again because there was still something more for her to do. And so even now, in that period of February and March, about 6 weeks span that she was in the hospital, nearly three times emergency calls from Hansa when I was in Abu, and nearly going, and she'd still come back. But she wasn't afraid to go. But I think Baba was getting us used to that idea that yes, at any moment now she may go. So it was more for us rather than for her. So she was ready. And I think she was ready for quite a while. She would talk about it. But if Baba were to call me now, would I be afraid? Or is there something else that I still need to do? Fear is one thing, but the other is that sense that things are not yet done, whether for myself or in terms of service. There was a time when we were in the meditation hall, and at that point, you've seen, now they've got this big platform with the big chairs on the stage, but the meditation hall in Madhuban, Pandapavan, it was completely flat, and there was just a little gaddi, like you see in the history hall, that sort of gaddi, just that little gaddi there. And Baba would be seated on the gaddi, and so literally here's Baba, and here's Daddy, and then others behind Daddy. So it was very, very close, very intimate. And Baba's asked the question in the Murali, Avyakt Baba, if Baba were to say to you, will you come home now? Who would be ready? And Baba looked around, and nobody put up their hands. And then Dadiji put up her hand, and she's right there. So Baba says to her, okay, you're ready to go. But what about everybody else? You haven't prepared all of them to go. And so your task isn't yet done. You have to prepare all of them. And so maybe I feel I've done what I need to do, and I personally don't feel I have. I think I've still got a lot to do. But if I feel I'm ready to go, but have I done the job that Baba made me an instrument for? And the question for Dadiji was, what about everybody else around you? But the question for me would be, if Baba's put us here outside Bharat, and it's for a purpose. And even the other day, Baba mentioned that the sound has to come from abroad. And so it can come in many different ways. It can come through many Brahmins, a big gathering. It can maybe come through a special instrument sold. Maybe it can come through media. Who knows? But whatever it is, have we done the work of sharing Baba's message with souls so that then whoever needs to take their ticket for Jivan Mukti is able to take it, and those who want their ticket for Mukti, they're able to take that, because both roles are for us today. Again, the reminder, your guides, both for Mukti as well as Jivan Mukti. So that first question, am I ready to go? Are there fears that are holding me back? Is there a task that remains undone that I have to say, Baba, I haven't yet done this, 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 and this? So, all of those things. That's one question. And then, Another question, what is it that I'm still attached to? When I sit in yoga, what is it that's pulling my mind? Or am I able to let go and just be with Baba? Some of you have been doing the drills, the collective yoga drills, and many of those commentaries that Baba's giving us, the drills that Baba used to do, Baba says, in a second. Are you able to do this in a second? Go beyond, go to Paramdham, just be stable in the remembrance of one. Different things Baba's taken up, but can you do it in a second? And okay, maybe I can do it in a second, but can I hold it in that awareness? Or is it that then there's a distraction that pulls me down again? And so, another checkpoint. And my attachment is not necessarily human beings. My attachment could be to a place. My attachment could be to a task. Different things come into our minds. When I sit for yoga, what is the thing that pulls me? Is it Baba and Paramdham that is pulling me? Or is it something here that's pulling me? And so again, if today I have that possibility of checking, and I'm doing that and I'm changing whatever it is I need to change, then I'm preparing myself for that moment when Baba calls and I can say, yes, if you want me to stay here, I'm ready to stay. If you want me to come, I'm ready to come. And it has to be both ways. In the sense that Baba's telling me I need to stay, and I'm saying, no, Baba, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the people around me. I'm tired of this place. I'm tired of service. I want to come. Well, that's not ready. There's things that are still impacting me and holding me. But when I can say, yes, I'm ready to come, and also I'm ready to stay, if that's what you want for me, then yes, truly, I'm ready, and the soul will be able to fly. There have been two descriptions of the Karmatit stage that I've been reading recently. One is the experience of Mama. I think it was somebody circulating different things about Mama's hope message that had come, that stimulated me to get this book. I think it's called Adi Devi Jagadamba, something like that. And in that, it's not just that one message, but there's so much there. But the one that interested me most was Mama talking about the feeling of being Karmatit. And she's described to a trance messenger. So while she's here, she's first very sick, and then she describes how that last day, the body's been unwell, but there's a feeling that she's now so light, so detached, that even the pain of the body doesn't pull her anymore. And she gets this feeling that this is what the Karmatit stage is like, not being pulled by anything. And then just a little while later, then she flies. And everybody's told to be sitting in yoga, because at that point, Baba's there and everybody's in tears. All the daddies have taken so much sustenance from her. And Baba tells them, sit in yoga, and maybe if your yoga is very powerful, Baba will send her back again. And they sat in yoga from that afternoon all the way through the evening, through to the next morning, and then finally, in the morning, much later, Baba says, okay, the soul's not going to come back. So now let's do the ceremonies. But what she's described, and I've heard this from other people, and I thought it was their imagination. Because, you know, if you're looking at something very hard, something's moving. You know how easy it would be to kid yourself? And because they wanted Mama to come back. So the daddies told me this, that they saw some movement, and they thought Mama was coming, and then it didn't happen. And what Mama's described is that around 4 o'clock in the morning, everybody's still sitting in yoga, and Baba tells her up above, "Do you want to go back into that body?" And she says she came back, and the body was very, very cold. And she could feel that the body was of no use anymore. It wouldn't support her in any service. And so she's quickly left again. So it wasn't their imagination. She's actually come for a moment, but she's gone again. And so her experience of the Karmati stage was very different to Baba's, but still Karmati, because that last period of pain was settlement. And this is how she would always describe it. She would say that pain is not an issue, it's come to settle, and I'd rather settle here than later. And so she would accept that pain and be able to tolerate it and be able to be detached from it also. And so that was very interesting for me, that Mama actually did come and experience this, but then she decided, no, this is really no use. And so she's gone back to Baba and said, "Baba, no, I don't want to stay there anymore." But Brahma Baba, the pain and the struggle, but then going beyond. And in that moment, again, experiencing that total freedom. But Baba's also said in one of his messages that over that period of the last few months, Baba was here, but Baba was not here, doing what he needed to do, but then disappearing again, physically there, but Baba's mind elsewhere, just with Baba. And so that stage again of Karmati for that last period of time, where again and again we would see Baba's here, but somewhere else. And so Baba was experiencing that stage of in the body, but yet also Karmati. And so, and Baba's talking to the Dadis at one point, and Baba's saying to them, "I've left because now I have to go and serve from above." And the Dadis are saying to him, "But is this what we need to do also? Do all of us need to finish things here and quickly come up to you?" And Baba categorically tells them, "No, Baba wants you to stay here but experience your Avyakt Karmatit stage whilst you are here." And I was reading this in the Muralis of the 1969, that early period. And Daddy would often talk about this, that this is what Baba wants for us, to be here but be Avyakt, be Karmatit. And so, if I can liberate myself from all the different pulls that are going on here, be able to fulfill my responsibility, because this question keeps coming up, do we still have to carry on with the things that we're doing now? And yes, while the yajna continues, every single aspect of that has to continue. It's not that everything's finished and everything's done and we go. Well, whenever that time comes, it will. But Baba keeps emphasizing, whatever it is you're doing, continue to do that, but yet still allow yourself to experience that subtle stage in which you're able to be detached from the body. And so the first lesson and the last lesson again and again. Soul consciousness, soul consciousness, soul consciousness. So the mind, making it so stable that there's no fears, that there's no cause and tensions of attachments, but yet still able to do whatever is needed. But also another preparation, and I think it's going to become more and more relevant as time goes on. At this moment, we were able to communicate with the world. And so somebody tells me they're listening to the Murali from Kuwait in the morning, then later on they're listening to the Murali from London. So many Muralis to choose from. It's Baba's Murali, but now you have a big variety, big choice. Even in Hindi, you have a huge amount of variety. English Muralis, again, you have a huge amount of variety to choose from. So all of that's been happening, this communication, non-stop communication. But there's going to come a point of time when Om Shanti, no more communications. It's definitely going to come. A natural disaster happens, the communications fall down. Terrorist attack, again, same thing. Cyber attack, same thing. So, at that moment, my only method of protection and support and communication is going to be the inner one. I won't know where you are, I won't know how to reach you, and the other way, you won't be able to reach me. But I need to, at this moment, refine the quality of my connection with Baba so that it's such a clear, clean line that there's no interference from anyone, anywhere. And Baba always uses these two words for the intellect, keen and clear. So is it clean? The vices, whether it's the big ones or the little ones, have I been able to deal with them and get them out of the way? And if not, well, now I have to do it. I've been thinking about it for years and years, but now this is the time that I have to do it, because only then will the intellect be clean and connect with Baba, but also clear. And why Baba uses that second word, I think, is because when there's influences of human beings, then the intellect isn't clear. And think about how if you're on a battlefield, the enemy wants to cut off your communications so that you're stranded. You can't communicate with anyone. You're alone now. Nothing is working. There's no signals coming to you. And so that's exactly what Maya does. Communication with God gets blocked because of the influence of human beings. And then I don't understand what Baba's trying to say to me. I can't reach Baba, and Baba's messages are not reaching me. And so there's confusion. And so if I have an intellect in which today I've made the effort to clear it so that then there's no influences, no one, near or far, wherever they may be. And of course, influence is such a thing that it's not necessarily somebody who's close to me here physically. It could be far away, but they're communicating and they're influencing. But I made sure that I've cleared all of that so that I can catch Baba's signals. Then I know what it is Baba wants of me. Baba wants me to do something. Baba wants me to stay put. What does Baba want me to do? And so to be able to catch that from Baba very quickly and move in the direction that Baba wants me to move. Just imagine in the early days, they were able to catch the signal from Baba, and it was Shiv Baba, it wasn't Brahma Baba. Brahma Baba decided there's too much conflict going on in Hyderabad, I'm going to move to Karachi. and he was catching Baba's signals to move, so he moved. But how did all these people know? Baba didn't phone them. Baba didn't send them a telegram. How did they know? And it wasn't even from each other, because they weren't in so much contact with each other. But they knew. And they came and arrived at Baba's doorstep, and Baba had to make arrangements. And Baba was incredibly powerful, and somehow did make arrangements for everyone. So just as they were able to catch the signal from Baba in the early days, and after that, of course, Baba was there, so Baba was giving them direct instructions. But that early period was just catching signals. So at the end, at the beginning, so at the end, many, many different ways. At the end, just me and Baba, and can I catch Baba's signals? So that's another preparation that I have to very actively make at this moment. And the other thing, where Baba's wanting me to serve everyone, it's not just for their benefit. Yes, if I'm with Baba and I do Mansa Seva, they're going to benefit. But it's actually so that then whatever karmic accounts I may have with anyone, anywhere, and I don't know, 63 births, and it's karma, karma, karma. So now what I'm doing through Mansa Seva, A, I'm cleaning out my mind anyway, so that my mind is able to serve properly, because if my mind isn't clear and clean, the intellect being clear and clean is one thing, but also I have to make my mind very clean, so that there's no other feelings there. You know, when Baba says, Shubh Bhavna, Shubh Chintak. Now, the feelings that I'm carrying, how much stuff is it that I'm carrying from the past? And who is it that I'm carrying it for? And this birth, I can identify and say, this thing, that one, this thing, that one, and all of this, and I'm clearing it all out so that there's no interference, but there must be many souls that I've had karma with that I don't know where and who and what. So the fire of yoga that Baba talks about, yes, that's a settlement. But also, if I've wronged someone, then if today I can do good deeds and send them Baba's light and love, that's also good karma for myself. And so Mansa Seva is an opportunity to do good karma for me. It's an opportunity to serve, get blessings, but also it needs that initial preparation that my mind is completely clean and clear so that I have nothing but good wishes for all. And of course, the method that Baba's told us to use for that is just keep churning gyan. And yes, there are things that I need to focus on, and I can't miss out on things and say, well, this isn't accurate because I was churning gyan at that time. Baba isn't going to believe that, because if I'm churning gyan, then I'm in tune with what Baba wants me to do, so that when it's time to do my work, I'm focused on that and I don't miss out on anything there, and it's accurate. So the accuracy of my work is going to depend on clean and clear mind, clean and clear intellect. So I need to keep that also going. When I'm churning gyan, in the sense, not that, you know, Baba's told us spin the discus and the five forms, different methods that Baba's given us. It's to be able to make sure that there's something rich that I can reflect on all the time. So whatever it is that I've taken from Baba's Muralis, and Baba gives us 1,000 different yuktis, every day different, so that we don't get bored. So that there's always something that I'm doing which is keeping me engaged with interest and with love. So it's never dull. So let me be able to do that through the day and keep myself engaged. And I'll never say I'm bored, I'll never say I'm lonely, but there's things that Baba has given me to do that I'm keeping in my mind and using that as a method to clean my mind and make my mind powerful. So a lot of work. It just means that there's a huge amount that I can pick and choose from. And today it's this that interests me, tomorrow maybe it's this. But all of it is developing my all-round personality. All the different virtues that I need to carry into Satyug, I'm not going to get them in Paramdham, I'm not going to get them in Satyug. It's from here that I'll carry them with me. And so the mind and intellect both clean and clear. And then sanskars. When I think about God's sanskars, and God does have sanskars, he told us in the Murali just recently, what are my sanskars? And God speaks about his sanskars of knowledge, but also benevolence, the word Shiva. The word Shiva is the benefactor. And so every sanskar that God has is not for the self, but those sanskars are to give benefit to others. And so to what extent have I transformed my sanskars so that my sanskars are the ones of being the devta, being able to give, the deity, devta, denevala. And so if my sanskars on any level are still of taking, whatever it may be, praise and respect and regard and support and cooperation. Baba's talked in many moralis about all of this. And so I want to be able to be in that stage where if time is now saying, not just Baba's calling one or two individuals, but if time is now saying, Chalo, let's go, then I'm content with myself that I've done as much as I needed to, as I wanted to, both. I need to do a lot, and I want to do a lot, but am I doing what I need to and I want to, or am I still getting distracted by other things? There's a very interesting comment that Baba made in the Murali in which it was the 18th of January, 86, I think it was in that Murali. And in that Murali, Baba's talking about how at this moment, what is it that you still want to take? Or is it that you really now feel it's a time to be able to give? And so my Satupradhan sanskars are the sanskars of being able to give without waiting for anything in return. But being the donor, the benefactor, am I able to give? Am I continually able to give? And so this transformation of reaching my karmatit stage, of becoming Satupradhan, I think this is that last period in which I have to do all the cleaning I need to do and the filling and accumulation of all I need to have. And the dadis at that moment in the advanced party are asking the other dadis, you know, that 18th January Murali, the advanced party dadis are asking the dadis who is still here at that time, have you become so busy in all the activity of your centers and your zones that you're not thinking about the big picture and the whole transformation task that's waiting for you? That was interesting. So what's happening to me now? Am I still caught up in all these things here? Or am I able to know that, well, these are games that are going to carry on, but I need to be aware of the big picture? So the preparation for the final moment. I think it's important to focus on these things right now at this time. What would you like to do? Any questions or meditation? Liz? Oh, just a second. Could we have that mic? The standing mic, so that the mat's here, so we follow all the rules. Thank you.
It's one, just can you describe, we all say we get a touching from Baba, and sometimes it's my desire or my manma or a feeling. So is yours, does it come to you as intuitive? Does it come as a feeling? Or does it come in different ways when you get touching from Baba?
The touching.
And knowing that it's not something you want, if you know what I mean.
Well, first let me clean out all my desires so that I'm very aware of what my desires are, so that I know them and I've been able to sort it out, so I've been able to come to the state of contentment where I don't have those desires. But also, if it's really a touching from Baba, then everybody around me is going to come to a consensus and accept that this is the right thing. You've seen that happen, I'm sure, that you can go round and around in all sorts of circles, but then somebody says something and it really feels right and everybody accepts it. And everybody...
And when you're alone?
If I've done that first task of cleaning out my desires, it's self-exploration to be able to know myself so deeply that I know what my own desires are. And so if I'm doing that work today, then I'm sorting that out. Why do I desire this? What is the point of this? Why do I want it? And so I've sorted things out so that then I can say, yes, Baba, I have everything. I don't want anything more. Then in that state, if there's a thought that comes, I'll know it's from Baba. It's not my desire because I've sorted all that out. So there's a process to get there, but I think it's worth exploring what are the steps that we need to be taking today. That whole thing about checking my fears, checking my attachments, checking my desires, so that I'm sorting it all out now. At the end, then, there's nothing that will pull me except Baba. Anyone else? Content. Let's have yoga. Okay. Om Shanti.